Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm pretty ripe.
And welcome
that's just a tribute to the man who is buried on the beach, everyone's favorite character, next to probably everyone else's favorite characters, Nikki and Paolo.
The Wednesday edition of The Lost Podcast. How's everybody doing out there?
I'm doing fine.
So we had a new episode today, rock-centric.
I'm not gloating on that. Don't send your hate mail. I just a little joke.
You don't need to say it. You don't need to say anything. So we had a lock-centric episode today, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I mean, it didn't let down, and crap, there was a lot of answers in this one, I thought.
I thought it was very, 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 very good.
And so we have a lot to talk about, so we won't waste any time. We got last recap, listener feedback, you tweet back, and Jack, do you have a new crackpot theory of the week for us?
Oh, do I have a crackpot? I think it's a pretty obvious one, but no one at this moment has sent an email or call that I've heard or seen.
Well, you told it to me already, and I don't like it. But
I know you don't like it, but it just makes perfect sense. I was worried that someone would say it. I'd have to come up with a new one because Locke screwed my whole crackpot theory up.
All right. Well, we'll get into that at the end of this episode. So, Jack, what do you say we get to the last recap?
Do it, officer.
All right. Here we go. All right, it's last recap dork. Time.
You guys couldn't see what he was doing, but he's just a dork.
New episode, The Substitute. And, you know, yet again, the title of the episode, there's no way you guessed it, I don't think.
Well, no, I don't think so either.
Based on the
people
title.
People are going, oh, you're spoiling us with the titles.
I don't think it spoiled anything, quite honestly.
What was last week was What Kate Does. Yeah, would that have spoiled what the episode was? No. So, 0 for 3, I think, so far.
So, Ed...
But I've been wrong before.
Watch out.
Hey, he's already going to squish your head like a grape.
I know. I saw his email.
Sent you some hate mail.
I said I kid because I love.
Yeah, and he said, I don't care. I'm going to break your head.
All right. Well,
we're kidding, of course. He didn't say that.
This one starts out with a flash sideways, and we're in a nice neighborhood.
Yes.
And we have Locke pulling in.
Right.
And
did you know it was Locke right away?
Yes, because... my grandfather has that type of van.
Yes.
And it has the wheelchair access in it. And, but unfortunately, it stopped halfway through.
Mate, it's just like, come on.
So then,
I was like going, no, don't make the jump.
But you know what then? Even though he's trying to be Evel Knievel, he had just this view of, he was a happier Locke. Even though, I mean,
I said after season.
I mean, he still has that kind of happiness.
I almost said the season
him.
5 premiere, because that's what they, if anyone watched this episode they show before with little captions underneath,
uh-huh.
They kept saying season 5, LAX season 5 premiere. I mm-hmm. get, am I reading this wrong? Did I mess a year
Do they
somewhere?
Have Cliff doing the text on that?
No, but he... What I said in season 1, he's just a happier, less bitter, and we see why, I think, now.
Exactly. Well, he falls on the lawn, and then the sprinklers come on. The guy has no luck. But then Helen...
I hated laughing at that part. It's like, come on, how do you laugh at that?
Because you hate Locke. It's
I
obvious.
Don't hate Locke. I love Locke.
So then Helen...
This is off-island Locke.
Okay.
I love off-island Locke. Don't tell me what I can't laugh at.
So Helen comes out, and we see that they're engaged to be married.
Right.
So Helen, in this... So they don't want us to say alternate universe, but in this sideways universe, she is going to be married to John Locke. And this is why I think it is, because he's taking a bath and she's trying to figure out the wedding plans. And she says, you know, let's just go and just have my parents.
Well, she said, why don't we get a shotgun style wedding in Vegas, which I'm all for. Shotgun style weddings
so
in Vegas.
So my parents and your dad.
Right.
So... I guess without the island, his dad's not a jerk.
So now
and
do we have to guess how Locke ended up in a wheelchair again?
I think so, because it's the way Helen was talking. It seems like they actually had a relationship that wasn't as turmoil ridden as his other life was.
Right. So now we got to figure out what he doesn't. Well, he doesn't have obviously not anger management, and the way she's acting.
Because
remember, she was in the same anger management class. She's not as angry either.
Exactly.
So. What's going on here?
So I guess the island makes people naturally angrier?
Maybe. Well, no, he was angry before he got on the island.
Uh-huh. So it's interesting. No, I'm saying without the island.
I still think, though, Helen wasn't angry before. She was just a plant working for the dad.
I never thought that. For, we'll never find out.
Oh, yeah, we will, because we're going to ask the tough questions.
They'll never answer, because I don't think all this stuff that's been off down before, it's done. It's done now.
It's not done with me. I'm not giving up.
So then she goes through. She's picking up Locke's clothes to wash, and she finds Jack's card.
I did have a question, though. Why couldn't Helen pick him up at the airport?
I don't know. Maybe she was working or something.
Does she work?
We don't know, but I mean, it's a good excuse.
Okay.
Maybe she was working on the wedding stuff. She had to do that.
That's a lame excuse.
It's not that lame of an excuse.
Lame. How far is the airport?
If it's LAX, that's a pain to get to. That could be like a 2-hour drive.
Wham.
And if he lives in Tustin, that's about a 2-hour drive with traffic and everything.
Well, with traffic. It's not 2 hours without traffic.
Okay, when is there ever LA without traffic?
You got me there. There's always traffic in Tustin.
So then she says, you know, we should try it out, you know? You never know. It could have been fate. So it's kind of interesting there.
Yes, I'm thinking, call him. Call him.
So then we go out of the flash sideways, and we're kind of looking through the smoke monster's point of view. And the smoke monster is outside New Otherton, kind of scoping out the situation, because Man and Locke wants to.
He gets around the island. He gets around the island quick.
Yeah, and then he kind of almost flashes and goes back to where he had his machete, and he cuts down a man in a sack, and it's Richard Alpert,
whose eyelashes are still beautiful, but the rest of him is quite beaten up.
Yes, he does have the Ben beat up face going on.
He did
right
look.
Now.
It did look like Ben, except
and
for the eyelashes.
Man and Locke says it's time to talk to Richard Alpert, and we cut to commercial break. Lost. So then we go back.
Really?
To
did we have to do that? Lost.
Just to emphasize what's going on. So then we go to the flash sideways, and Locke gets to work. He looks like he's still at the same box factory in Tustin, and Randy questions him as to why he wasn't at this conference or whatever he was in Sydney for. And John Locke is caught in the lie and says,
"Didn't Ken Fisher cancel for lunch or something like that?"
Yeah, something like that. And you know, he apologizes and he tries, you know, say, "Hey, let's just forget about it." And then Randy fires him.
He said, "I was there for personal business. Can we just count this as my vacation?" He goes, "You're gonna have a vacation in October for your wedding."
Yeah.
What's the deal? So Randy's still a jerk.
Yeah. So
now, of course, he's a boss. You know, he was lied to. But he was still kind of jerky on the way how he handled
well,
it. He wasn't very professional.
Well, with you know what Hugo said later, since that's how we're naming him now, Hugo.
Hugo.
Maybe he's not Hurley in the future, or in this sideways reality. Maybe he didn't get that nickname. Possibly.
Never thought about that. Good theory.
But you know, he said he was a D-bag. So yeah. I guess Randy just still is a bit of a jerk.
Yeah, we don't
but
use
he called him Colonel a little more affectionately, I thought.
At first I thought he was going to be a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Colonel. But it was, you can see now it's kind of sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting him down.
So then we go back to Locke and Alpert. And, you know, they're having a conversation. He tells Alpert that
Locke.
We know, why did you choose Locke? Because Locke was a candidate, and Alpert didn't know what that was about.
He's a candidate? What do you mean?
Yeah, so then Locke's like, oh, wait, he never told you that? And, you know, he's kind of making fun of him. And
basically, you followed him around. You did everything he asked you to do.
Yeah.
Basically, treating him in like, who?
John Locke. Yep. And so Man and Locke wants Alpert to join him. Alpert won't join. He said, you only get one opportunity or whatever. And
then second chance in life only comes around once or something like that.
Yeah, sees a short, blonde-haired boy with looked like his hands were bloodied.
Yes.
So, who do you think this kid is? There's been a lot of theories, and they're in our calls and stuff.
I think it's a young Man in Lock. His hands are bloody. He has blood on his hands. He killed...
But Man in Lock's not blonde. I would say, if you were saying young, I would say it was a young Jacob, maybe.
But he has blood on his hands, right? The blood was on his hands?
Uh-huh.
What's that term for that? Blood on your you have blood on your hands. He was responsible for killing. I say it's a young. It could be a young Jacob, but I say it's going to be a young Men in Lock.
Nah, I don't think it'd be him because he has a much lighter look.
I don't know. Maybe he was using sun in or something like that.
Squeezing lemon juice. There's other theories in the calls that I'll leave for the calls for that.
I really didn't have a theory too much on that because I was pretty much concentrating on other things.
Oh well, I think you'll like some of the ones that people came up with then.
All right.
Next up is Alana, who is in the temple. She's crying, and Ben comes to him, and Alana wants to know, you know, who killed these people. And Ben's like, "Ah, well, you believe me, but Locke did it."
I don't think
he
you
turned into
me,
a smoke monster and killed him.
Yeah,
and
then he threw Jacob into the fire. Yeah, he killed him too.
And Ben asks Alana why Locke took Richard, and she said he's recruiting.
Right.
So Alana knows some answers, too. Maybe she will eventually give us some.
I doubt it.
We then go to Man and Locke visiting Sawyer, and the music that's playing is from Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
It was pretty loud, too.
Hey, if you're going to drink bottles of Dharma whiskey, there's no better music to go along with.
Well, obviously Sawyer's not worried about the others come to find him and get him, and...
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just given up.
And Man and Locke introduces himself, and Sawyer says, "I thought you were dead." And Man and Locke says, "I know."
I thought he said, "I am."
Oh, that's right, I am.
Why would he say, "I know"?
Something like that. One of those. I know. Maybe I was getting my Empire Strikes Back confused there.
Maybe it was, "I know." I just thought
I love
he said,
you.
"I am."
I know.
I don't think they said that.
No, I was just referencing a quote from Empire Strikes Back. Anyways, ding. Next up, Sawyer, after the commercial break, come back to Sawyer and Locke. And Man and Locke tells Sawyer that he can tell him the most important question of all. Why are we here?
And Sawyer had a great line with this.
Oh, yes. He was like, "Well, let me get my pants on."
No, he said, "Why am I here? My plane crashed. Oh, yeah. My raft blew up." The line that Men and Locke used with Richard was, "People seldom get a second chance."
Yes.
I wrote it down.
Oh, okay.
I had to go back and look for it.
But man, I don't want to say it, but Sawyer's looking kind of grungy anyway. His boxers looked a little soiled.
But you know what? I don't think the women out there care. They're thinking Sawyer needs a hug and I'm the person to do it.
Because, you know, Sawyer generally looks kind of grungy, but he looked extra grungy. It's like, man, why are there so many brown stains? I don't want to know.
Well, you know, when you're drinking, sometimes you just can't get up.
We then go back to the Flash sideways, and Locke is, you know, has his little box with his things. You know, I've never been fired from a place, so I wonder, like, do they give you that box to put your crap in?
I have been fired, and I did use my own box.
So they gave you a box?
I just took the box.
I don't know. They sell like office supply stores. Like, here's the firing box. Locke actually parked in the non-handicapped spot, so he didn't have the extra room for his.
And you didn't know whose car that was at first.
Well, it's not that I didn't know, but you picked it out before I did. But yes, it was Hugo's nice H2 Hummer.
Right.
And Locke's upset that he parked so close to him. But
first he's trying to scratch the car with the lift.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
It stopped.
But then Hugo...
You know why it didn't work?
Why?
Because Hugo has great luck.
Exactly.
So that's why it didn't work. There was no way Locke was going to be able to scratch that car. No way.
And it is Hugo, and you know, introduces himself as the owner of this company, and he agrees that Randy is a bit of a D-bag.
Right.
And he, you know, gives him the...
Randy Nation.
Yes, Randy Nation. And gives him a number to call temp agency.
Temp agency.
That he also owns, and they'll get him a job.
So maybe get a job in the office.
Yes. And we go out of the sideways, Flash sideways, to Alana's son and Frank. And, you know, they're getting ready to head to the temple. But son wants to bury Locke.
Well, she says, "What about Locke?" And everyone just kind of looks and goes, "All right."
It's the right thing to do.
Well, it was the right thing to do, but there was no sense of urgency. Yeah, we should really bury him. But you just saw their faces like, "Really? All right."
So then we go back to Sawyer and Locke walking in the jungle. And
I thought these were some great scenes.
Oh, they were.
Terry O'Quinn and Josh Holloway.
I thought they were as well. And Man and Locke keeps asking Sawyer questions. And Sawyer's like, "How about we just don't ask any questions for a while?
How about you shut your mouth?"
Then they both see the young boy.
Right.
And
who played the silver ball.
Man and Locke runs after him. And
what did I say? I said, "Is this going to be like Jack when he was chasing after his father?"
Yes, he did.
Because the clip before, they show someone hanging off a rope. I assumed it was Sawyer, but I said, "What if this is John?"
Mm-hmm.
Or Men in Lock? But they ruined it for me.
Well, at least this time, this person actually talked to Man in Lock and said, you know the rules, you can't kill him.
Right.
So what is this him they're referring to? Is this
it's gotta
Jacob?
Be Jake. It's got to be Jacob, right? Or is that too obvious?
Or is it maybe Sawyer? Or somebody else we don't know yet.
Oh.
But
that's a good... Didn't think about that.
Is this kid the referee of the island?
You're going to have a kid... Maybe that's why kids are so important. Maybe that's why they steal kids, because kids are the key to the island.
The rule keepers. We go commercial break. We come back. Sawyer's waiting around.
Maybe he's
for
Locke. An older Aaron.
Well, that's one of the theories. That
oh, I'm sorry.
Don't call.
Forget I said that.
We then go from the commercial break, coming back to Sawyer waiting around for Albert. And oh, I'm sorry, waiting around for Man and Locke to come back. And Albert stumbles out of the jungle. It's so weird to see Albert with a look of fear in his face.
Yeah, but
it's
he's always been calm, collected. You know, he had a look of dapper. Fear. He had a look of fear when he was on the red carpet with us, because we were asking him some pretty tough questions.
Yeah, they were very.
And there are minor spoilers in those, by the way, too.
Well, yeah, the video's not up yet.
Oh, it's not up yet?
Well, it should be up by the time you hear this.
Okay.
Which that is on the Lost Vidcast feed.
Well, I've
on
seen
iTunes.
It.
Why do you have to spoil people?
I'm just saying.
So Albert tries to convince Sawyer to go with him to the temple, saying that, you know, he doesn't care about you. He's going to kill you.
Right.
He's just kind of leading you on for right now. Sawyer is kind of, again, he doesn't really care. He's kind of lost everything anyway. So
he's hit rock bottom. He doesn't care.
Yeah. And Man in Lock comes back and he denies how seeing the kid.
Seeing the kid, and also he asks, who are you talking to? And he goes, nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he denied seeing.
No, Sawyer him. Said nobody.
Oh, yeah.
But how does, I guess when he's in smoky form, he has better, he can see things, sense things better. How would he have not known that Richard obviously. Wasn't there? So when he's just walking around as like a human, I guess he's just.
Well, I think it's apparent. Like, he's restricted to what a human body could do.
But when they shot at him, he didn't get shot. He didn't die, so.
Well, yeah, but
I think I'm just
two different things. I mean, when you're in a human body, you can't see as much as you could probably see as a smoke monster.
But you can
everywhere.
Stop a speeding bullet without a red cape.
Yes.
Okay.
We then go back to the Flash sideways, and Locke is at the temp agency, and this is the fortune teller.
Yeah, I believe so.
From the
we've seen her before,
and was Trisha Tanaka is dead, right?
I believe so.
With Cheech Marin.
Yes,
I'm fairly certain. And
now I said in the photo behind John Locke,
close.
It looks like Desmond.
That's a waste of time.
But I'm just throwing it out there.
By the time we do Lost in Review on for Friday's show, I'll find a picture of that and I will show you.
I stopped
detail.
It, froze it, and kept looking at it going, man, that could be Desmond.
That's about as bad as your, Locke's going to be a patient of Jack Shepard. So then he's getting kind of lame questions like, you know, if you're an animal, what kind of animal would you be? Locke's kind of impatient and irritable.
Well, Locke gave my answer that I give when I'm impatient with someone on the phone or someone in person.
Can I speak to the manager?
Can I speak to the supervisor?
But the supervisor is actually Rose.
Rose, who was on the plane with John and doesn't remember him?
Well, she wasn't sitting right next to him.
I guess.
So, nice try. So Rose is the manager, and he wants a construction job, which he says, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, Locke is just about ready to say, don't tell me what I can't do, when Rose says, well, I have terminal cancer, I'm dying, so thanks,
right,
jerk.
But, you know, she's still the positive person she was on the
island.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Some people have changed, and some haven't. Rose was positive on the island because she was positive because her cancer was cured.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's off the island. She still has terminal cancer. She said, I'm not going to let it ruin what I have left. I'm going to live my life. It's not going to rule me.
Well,
basically what she was saying, and she's still positive.
Well, regardless of whether the island was there or not, because remember in her flashbacks, she said it was Bernard that couldn't accept that she was going to die. She already accepted her terminal cancer.
I know, but I'm just saying she's the same positive person. She, you know, she
exactly.
always believed that Bernard was alive, that she's just not
exactly.
a negative. She's not Jay.
Uh-huh.
She's not you. So she's a very positive person.
She says she has terminal cancer, and she's like, let's find a job you can do.
So you'll be back tomorrow looking for another job.
And then Locke goes, don't tell me what I can do.
Yeah.
We go out of the Flash sideways to Man and Locke and Sawyer. And they're walking, and Sawyer says, you know, do you like reading? And he says, of course. And he says, do you like Steinbeck? And Man and Locke says, that's probably a little bit after my time. Or
yeah, a little after my time. I thought that was a good one. Now, what I wish he would have said a book that was before his time so we could have a timeline about when he was alive.
Oh, we can't give you all the answers in one episode.
Maybe one.
But then he talks about Of Mice and Men, these two people, and one has to take the other one out.
Lenny and George.
And, you know, Lenny becomes a burden, so George kills him.
Right.
Shoots him in the back of the head. In which case, Sawyer pulls out his gun pointed towards John Locke. And
now,
like,
here I'm thinking, I'm getting way off topic here. But They need to do a remake of Dirty Harry. Who would make a great Dirty Harry? Josh Holloway. I'm telling you right now. I'm calling it right now.
It has nothing to do with Lost. Can we stay on topic, please?
That way he's holding the gun, the way he's got that rugged look. He's got that smart Alec personality. He's tough. Josh Holloway is the next Dirty Harry.
So then Man in Lock says, you know, he's trapped. I feel the same thing. I used to feel all the same things you feel, and I want to get off this island.
Yep.
So then we go to Alanis.
But he confirmed that he's dead.
Did
he say I was dead when I was alive?
Yeah, but
I thought he said something like that.
I guess he's not living in the sense as humans live.
Well, he's trapped. He's trapped.
Yeah, he's trapped. But I mean, he's not a ghost. I wouldn't say he's a ghost.
No, I wouldn't say that. But he's trapped. He wants to go.
Yeah.
He wants to go home. And what do the Lossies want to do? They want to go home. They're trapped.
So Alana, we go to Alana's son, Ben, and Frank.
And Locke.
Yes. And they're kind of having a discussion. And Alana, you know, asking why is he staying in the form of Locke. And Alana says that Manilock is stuck as him.
Right.
So interesting. Maybe like once he chooses the final form to overthrow Jacob, maybe something like that.
That he has to keep the game going until he can get out of the body to get home.
Maybe he has to use the, like, his only way is now he is the body of John Locke, and that's how he's going to get home as John Locke.
That could be it.
Interesting. We'll see what happens.
I would have picked someone with hair,
but
that's just me.
They go to Boone Hill, and they have a funeral for Locke. And Ben says,
"Now, did you shed a tear? Because that's your boy. Were you shedding a tear when Locke was laid into the grave?"
No, because I know that is not the end of the real Locke, because we are seeing the new real Locke off the island.
You were cool with it.
I'm cool with it because
Leader Locke was put in the hole, and you're cool with it.
Well, because there's a new Locke that is living a life as well. So
okay.
Locke is not done yet. He is not done.
I was just asking. I'm just throwing it out there.
Us Lockites are holding out hope.
Okay.
So they have a funeral for Locke, and Ben has some nice words to say about him. He's a better man than he ever was. I'm sorry that I killed him.
I murdered him.
Yes.
And then what Frank say? Some strange funeral.
This is the strangest funeral.
Frank is coming up with the best lines now. He's like taking over Sawyer's job.
So then we go back to the flash sideways, and you mentioned, you know, Locke is woken up by alarm. You're like, got a bunch of those numbers.
Yep, because it sounded just like the alarm in the hatch.
So then, as he's getting ready.
Would have been nice if he woke up and said, 4:08:15. Would that be too much?
I think it might be a little bit too much. Right. So he then attempts to call Jack, but once he gets to the office, he hangs up the phone. And Helen, you know.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they're already married. Hey, really? Just pointing it out.
So then he comes clean to Helen about, you know, his trip, and he says he tried to go on a walkabout.
First he said, I got fired.
Yes. And then they bring his baggage.
Yes.
It kind of breaks the tension.
He goes, you want to know where I'm at? Open that case.
Yeah, you know, I would explain it first before you open a case full of knives, because that's just look at the knives completely the wrong way.
What are these for?
Murder.
What else would they be for, Helen? It's a knife.
I'm going to kill you.
It's to comb your hair.
So he comes clean about the walkabout, and he talks about how, you know, he was screaming at these, yelling at these people, but they wouldn't let us go. And, there's no such thing as miracles. I don't want you hanging around hoping that one day I'll be able to walk again.
That's where we have a different Locke. He's not a believer.
Yeah, no, not so much. But we don't know if...
But he's not as irritable.
We don't know if he didn't crash on the island if he would have not been a believer by then.
That's true, because what happened was he was able to walk. So
exactly. So
gained...
then that made him a believer.
Right.
So we don't know if he got to LAX, he would have not been a believer because he didn't get to go on the walkabout and, you know, he wasn't able to do this. So then Helen says, you know, I'm just waiting for you. I don't care, you know, about.
Well, he gave the speech. I want to walk down the aisle with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying, you know, I've been trying, you know, then they take Jack Shepherd's card and Helen rips it up.
Yep. And she tells me, no, it's not about, it's about you. I love you.
I said, thanks, Helen, for ripping up that card.
Ripped up your hopes and dreams.
You know, it was so close, and I had some emails about that. Really, again?
Again? They're just doing it on purpose, just to tease you. So then we go to Sawyer and Man at Lock, and they're climbing down this cliff.
Well, Sawyer goes, this cave. Hey, I ain't going first.
Yeah.
I wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah, could he make a bit of a nicer ladder? Because that thing's kind of...
You know, I looked over when they showed the shot, and I said, Not me. I'll wait for the elevator or the escalator. I'm not going down that thing.
So
would you have gone down it?
No. No way. No way. I would have gone down that.
Okay. At his stage in at life, the way he feels right now, I mean, his life, he doesn't feel like there's anything.
Yeah, I get
he
in
did
that
say,
case,
he did
yes.
say he did say to like
you've
to,
already died once.
You've already died once. So
it's not a big deal to you, but what about me?
What about me? So he does have some.
Yeah.
He does want to live.
Mm-hmm. So then he climbs down, but it breaks. And luckily, he can save himself, and Manlock helps save him. And they get into the cave, and there's a weir there, and yeah. There's a black rock and a white rock.
So he threw Jacob into the ocean.
Yeah, he threw it in. He says, ah, nothing. It's just an inside joke.
Sawyer goes, what's that all about?
Yeah.
Just an inside
joke. So is that kind of an inside joke between the writers and...
I think
Jacob
it's
and Esau?
I think it's between the writers, the fans, and Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
I think we say Esau? It's between everybody. I think everybody got the joke.
Yes.
If you didn't get the joke, don't send me hate mail because I'm not calling you stupid.
So then he takes him further into the cave and says, this is why you're here. And we see rocks covered with names and numbers associated
and
with
some are scratched off, some are not scratched off.
And 15, Ford, for James Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Reyes, 8.
Right.
16, Jarrah, 42, Quan, 23, Shepherd, 4, Locke.
Locke.
So why was Kate not included?
I don't know, but I will tell you at the end of the show.
Okay.
Well, you already know. I told you.
I know. So then we go back to the Flash sideways. Locke is, I guess, a PE teacher or a coach for volleyball?
I think it's coach for volleyball.
He is also substituting for a class. They're talking about reproductive organs.
He picked up into chapter 4, which is one of the numbers. And
number,
it was
one of the numbers.
And it was his number.
Yes.
Huh. How crazy is
wow,
that?
Wow, it's like they planned it out ahead.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they knew that. I don't think.
It's all random.
It's just like after the episode, they went, hey, that worked out pretty good.
He then goes to lunch into the lunchroom. And there is a man who sounds a lot like Ben, looks a lot like Ben.
Actually, sound a lot like me, because that's what I do when someone can't go. You heard it for your whole life.
Yes, the extra two steps.
Two steps. Are you kidding me? You couldn't go. The trash can's right
here.
So
you felt Ben's pain.
I was like, wow, I'm Ben.
So, you know, Locke says, you know, I was thinking more Earl Grey and T. And Ben Linus goes, you know what? That's a nice gentleman's drink. And he introduces himself as a Euro history teacher, and Ben seems a lot happier, and I hope they develop like in this Flash sideways a relationship, because
that would be nice.
That'd be a lot of fun. And I guess
would it be the same though, because works so well between Ben and Locke was the fact that they were always playing a game against each other, trying to one up each other.
Yes, but
how would they get this to work if they're being friends? I don't.
Because I think they'd be...
They're two great actors, and they could probably pull it off.
Exactly.
But I'm thinking, I don't want to see two guys going around playing cards. I want to see two guys who are not fighting with each other physically, but mentally.
I think it's something different, and their inquisitive nature by themselves is going to be interesting.
Or maybe we'll see them playing a game of chess.
Chest?
Chess. I didn't say chest. I said chess.
Chested. Yeah, you did.
Well, whatever. Checkers.
But I guess since the island was exploded, Ben is not evil?
I guess so.
Right?
I guess. How is that possible?
Yeah, exactly, because they sent Ben before they blew up the island. So, in theory, he would be dead.
There's a lot of things we don't know yet.
So it's interesting. We'll have to see how that goes.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of emails on this telling us what is wrong and what's right.
But I guess he might not be evil anymore since he wasn't put into the murky pool.
Maybe. Maybe never made it to the island.
We then go to Man and Locke and Sawyer, who are still in the cave, and shows him the names with the numbers. And he says Jacob had a thing for numbers.
Yeah. Well, he said, what's with 8?
Yeah.
Number 8 when it was
Hugo Reyes.
Hugo.
And that's when Man and Locke says, you know, these are candidates. Jacob saw himself as a protector of the island. And the candidates would be people that take over for Jacob. He said, yeah, 3 choices. 1, do nothing,
mm-hmm.
and maybe get crossed off. And then he crosses off Locke,
right.
Number 4, Locke. Number 2, be the new Jacob and take over. And then that's when he kind of stops and Sawyer goes, you know, well, you said there was 3. And then that's when Man in Lock says, well, we get off this island and we have to do it all together.
Right.
And he says, are you with me? And Sawyer says, hell yeah.
Now, he did say something interesting, Man in Lock, that I've been saying for a long time. He said, the island is just an island. It's nothing special.
Yeah, it doesn't need to protect. Yeah.
That's when he said Jacob felt it needed to be the protector, but it doesn't need anything. That's what I've been saying for a long time. It's just an island. It's just dirt. It's the magic of what the people on the island.
So are you on Man in Lock's side?
Right now, I'm going to have to say.
So you're on Lock's side?
I'm on the Man in Lock side. I agree. Now, Hell
has frozen over.
Okay, of course, I'll probably be proven wrong because, you know, Locke couldn't go just see Jack. Just, you know, quick consultation. Hey, yeah, I don't think I can fix it. Yeah, I can. That's all it would have taken.
That's funny.
But no, Helen ripped up the card. But I'm not bitter, so I don't... Yeah, what are you going to do?
But overall, you know, I really love this episode. I love we're getting answers.
It had a great pace.
Yes.
It kept you going the whole time.
And Terry Quinn's amazing.
He is. And
Josh Holloway is amazing. You know, I think they worked really well together. Because there hasn't really been a lot of scenes between Terry Quinn and Josh Holloway, and I thought they worked really well together.
Not in a while. It hasn't been.
Even before, there was never a lot. There was that time when they went together and he called him Mr. Clean, and he still called him Ford James.
Right. That was his insult back.
Yeah, in season two. But there was never really too much interaction between
them. Well, I think a lot of people have said that Josh Holloway is maybe earning an Emmy nomination.
Yeah, I think he's done really good this season.
I think he's had a great start.
And I also like in his Flash Sideways, there was a lot more interactions with the other Lostaways, with Rose, Hugo, Ben... And I think that's really good. I like it.
And the picture of Desmond.
According to you.
Picture of Desmond, photo on the wall.
All right, well, that's what we thought about this episode. Jack, do you want to get into what everybody else thought about it?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, Jack, we got a lot of phone calls and you tweet packs to get into. So what do you say we get into the phone calls first?
Didn't I already say let's do it?
Here we go.
Hey, Jane, Jack. It's Tom from New Jersey. Just want to say, I love the podcast. Listen to it just whenever I can. First time that I'm calling, but I thought that with this episode, I wanted to give a call and just share my theory on who the little boy was that Sawyer and Man in Lock saw in the woods. I believe it's actually Aaron. I don't know how it's going to tie into the rest of the plot. I don't know why he's all grown. But I think it has something to do with what we saw in the first couple of seasons from Walt, where he can pop up like at any given time or at a certain place. I think they're both special, obviously. And I think he's going to have a big role at the end of this season and the end of this story. So that's my theory. I'm sticking to it, and I look forward to the podcast later on, well, actually, first thing in the morning. All right?
Hey, Jay and Jack. It's Abigail from Dallas, Texas. I hope I have the right number because it didn't work the first time. But this episode was amazing and really, really cool, and my brother and I really liked it, or I think he liked it. The best line of the whole thing was when James was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to go put on some pants or whatever he said. It was hilarious. I laughed my head off. Not really sure if I really, you know, believe all the crap that Man in Lock was saying, but it was really, really, like, cool to, like, find out, like, that they were, like, candidates or whatever. Like, people have been, like, saying, and it was really cool. And I really liked when he crossed out Locke's name. I don't know why, but I liked that. So love the show. Keep it up. And can't wait for next week. Bye.
This is Jen from South Carolina. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, and I was just calling to say, Jay, you must be so excited about this Locke episode. It was really good, and I can't wait to hear your theories. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
You were excited by the fact he got buried in the sand?
No, because there's another Locke, and he's alive and well and happy.
So they made everybody happy in this episode.
Yeah, you can keep trying to... You know, bring me down. I'm not going to be able to.
I'm not trying to bring you down.
Because I'm Mr. Positive.
You are Mr. Positive. And yeah, okay, whatever. And then Abigail. Was it Abigail?
Abigail.
Was Abigail.
Yes. I don't know where you got Abigail from.
And I think I need more than this. I'm sorry, Abigail. I don't know. I even asked you again.
That's why I said Abigail.
I can't hear with these headphones on. I did like what she had to say.
Okay.
Because she liked the fact that Locke's name got crossed off. So now we know that Locke was never supposed to be the chosen one. He was never supposed to be the leader.
Nope.
So when Richard
went because he was a candidate. He was a candidate to take over for Jacob.
He was a candidate, but he got crossed off. Why? Because he didn't have the goods.
No, not because he didn't have the goods, because Ben murdered him. Because
he didn't have the goods.
Because murdered him.
To be a leader, you have to have confidence.
Doesn't matter. Still was murdered.
Locke.
Murdered and confidence. Never got to fulfill his candidacy.
If he had the skill, he could have done it.
Well, then he wouldn't have been on Jacob's list, would he?
He was on Jacob's list because he told everybody he should be on the list.
Sorry.
And then I'm sorry again, Abigail.
That's fine. Okay, moving on to Tom.
I apologize. Was it Tom? Did I get that right?
Tom in New Jersey.
Little boy is Aaron. I blurb that in the recap, but I like it. I didn't think about it at the time, but we were talking about it. I said, yeah, that could be Aaron.
It is a very Waltian theme.
I bet Tom and I are right. I bet you it's Aaron.
But why would we see an older, well, I guess, you know, he's a baby Aaron or toddler goober wouldn't have worked as well.
he wouldn't have said, why'd you? You broke the rules. He would have been, where's my juice box? juice box, mommy.
Where's my supposed mommy? She left me alone in a big.
Now I'm on the island all by myself.
Oh man! All right. So let's get into the next set of calls. Jack, what do you say?
Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Whitney calling from London, Ontario. Just finished watching tonight's episode, and we learned a lot of great stuff. Finally, have some clue as to what the numbers are. But my question actually goes back to the beginning of the episode. With regards to the man in Locke and Richard, have we never seen Richard have any kind of interaction with the smoke monster throughout the entire series? Because I'm wondering how that's possible, because Richard's been there and the smoke monster's been there, and have they never had any kind of encounter? Has Richard never been afraid of him as the smoke monster because he couldn't touch him? Does that mean that Richard is untouchable? Or just that he needed to have a body to be able to hurt Richard? Just an interesting question. Want to know what you think. And thanks for the show. You guys are doing a great job. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. Love the show. I also love that I can just pick up the phone and remember the phone number to call just from hearing it so many times. Just watched the episode. We know the numbers. But where is Kate's number? I don't understand. Jacob touched her when she stole the lunchbox in the gas station. So I'm very confused. All right, love the show. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Sean in Superior. That was a great episode. I loved it. It kind of picked the page right back up. A couple things I saw in there was Helen's t-shirt that she was toting at the end there said peace and karma, and they kept showing the top of it a lot. So I don't know if that's just a kind of a toss at that time sideways area, supposed to be the peaceful one. When the boy appeared, at first I thought it was Jacob, especially when he first appeared. He had like the bloody arms and blood dripping off his hands. But then when he man locks him again, the boy said, you know the rules. You're not allowed to kill him. He didn't say me. So I don't think he's actually a younger Jacob. Maybe he's the overseeing judge of the game or the rule maker or something. And at the end, with the third option that he gave Sawyer, he said, we can leave the island. So do you think that means, I'm thinking it means Sawyer has to accept to be the protector of the island, and then they both leave together. So they both give up the island. I don't think Sawyer can just leave. I think he's got to do something to be that protector and then give it up so they can both go. So that way there is no more rules anymore or something like that. I don't think it's as easy as just wanting to leave. So just what I thought of. I thought it was a great episode. I will listen to your podcast later tomorrow. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Yeah, I agree with Sean. Sawyer is going to have to do something.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe die.
Yeah, you know, Alpert seemed pretty convinced that was the solution or the end game to that.
Right. So I think.
What do you think now?
I still think he's going to have to die. I mean,
yeah.
What else would he have to do? Or he has to go kill somebody to get off the island.
Yeah. No, I mean,
maybe he
for
has
him to die or him to kill somebody, it's been done already, you know?
But that's the game. You have to keep going until you get the right person, the right puzzle that fits the piece.
So maybe, you know, the game itself for Jacob, when he says, you know, it's all just progress until, you know, whatever. So maybe it's all just progress until they finally get someone to replace Jacob, and maybe that's when Esau gets to be free.
Now, do we now believe that he didn't necessarily say Jacob brought them there? Mm-hmm. He said he pushed them in that direction.
Yes.
So we can't say that he actually brought them there.
You can kind of say it, though, because, I mean, maybe not.
It's a fine line. It's,
yes.
It's how you put you
but
know.
Man in Lock seems convinced that they didn't have much of a choice.
Right. He met them at their lowest.
Yes. Or the most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable. And then he, yeah, okay.
So I guess for a guy, that's his wedding day, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, oh, definitely. So they must have been, when they were talking about Quan, they must have been talking about Jen.
Yeah.
I kid, of course. And then John Doe, why wasn't Kate's number there? I will tell you the crackpot theory.
All right.
And then Whitney, you know, she was telling how Richard had never any contact with Smokey. Now, there's a lot of times that we didn't see this. We didn't see him.
He was, exactly,
there was,
yeah.
There was a lot of times that we didn't see Richard or we didn't. You know, mm-hmm. Richard was off island and stuff like
Precisely.
That.
Precisely.
But I was curious. Why didn't he just kill Richard? Can he not kill? Is he the one that says, you know the rules, you can't kill him?
Maybe.
When you talking about Richard?
Well, maybe he still needs him for something. Probably
needs
him
for
something.
Either he still needs him or Sawyer has to go kill Richard.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But I don't think Richard can die just yet.
All right. I don't think so, but it just seems like there's something. We got to find out who. You know the rules.
Oh, I know
like
the rules.
Like Sean said, you know the rules. You can't kill him. So it wasn't me, meaning Jacob. So I don't know. We're going to answer a lot of questions.
All right, let's get to the last set of calls.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Jay and Jack? This is Adam from Chicago calling. Oh, wow. If we were at all disappointed or let down by last week's episode, what Kate does, I think the substitute today completely made up for it. To see the origins of the numbers, I mean, it's like a lifetime we spent looking forward to those, and maybe that's the solution, is just Jacob's way of keeping track of people. Interesting to see only one Quan number, so who knows who's the number there. Also interesting, no Kate having a number assigned, maybe because she's a bad person. But then again, we know there's other candidates emerging, like Frank Lapidus and others that we've seen. Crazy to see Richard Helpert running around terrified in the woods. Hopefully he makes it to the temple and survives. Heartfelt stories off the island with Locke. Running into Hurley, who just continues to emerge as an amazing character in this season. Rose in the office, and Ben Linus, the nerdy European history teacher, worried about the coffee machine. Just insane. Sawyer emerging as a foil to Locke's, to evil Locke. One theory, I guess, moving forward after this episode, I've got a hanker in that maybe evil Locke is going to try to use Sawyer's body to get off the island and then be Sawyer off the island because, we've learned that on island he's trapped as Locke, and we saw that he was incapable of catching the boy, the ghost boy, who I think most people might, agree with me is probably a Jacob ghost or maybe some ghost of the island reminding evil Locke of the rules. But, oh, my God, amazing episode. Looking forward to the next week and every week thereafter. Again, keep up the great work on the podcast, and talk to you guys soon. Can't wait for your podcast early this morning. Okay, bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. It's Reverend James from Franklin, Tennessee. What an amazing episode. Loved it. Three quick observations. Number one, I think the kid in the woods has got to be just a new version of Jacob in one way or the other. Number two, can't wait to see some screen caps of all the names on the wall, but one of the names I did notice was Troop, which I'm guessing refers to Gary Troop, author of Bad Twin. Thought that was a kind of cool little Easter egg. And number three, I think that the three people carrying John's body through the woods, Son and Frank and Ben and, oh yeah, the other lady, we should call them the Lock Carrying Guys, just throwing that one out there. Love the show. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. See ya. Bye.
Hey, EJ and Jack, this is Richard from New Jersey. I was just giving you a call about one interesting thing with the numbers. As you might have noticed, with 23 being shepherd, Psalm 23 is in regards to the shepherd, being the Lord being my shepherd. So I just found it interesting, and I'm now going to go and see if I can find any other biblical references with numbers and names, though I highly doubt some of Reyes would be in the Bible, but you never know. All right. Have a good show, guys.
Hi, Jay and Jack. This is Jacob from Ohio, and I'm just calling in response to this episode, The Substitute, which I thought was really funny. Watching with my sister, I found out that Locke actually becomes a substitute teacher, which was kind of not what I expected at all. But just a first reaction, all the names up on the wall, thinking if anyone is going to be a substitute for Jacob, I think that most likely it would be Hurley. That's just my thought. I wouldn't think it would be Jack. That just seems kind of not right. It just seems like it's leaning towards Hurley being kind of like the protector. He's been taking kind of a leadership role. He's got a thing for numbers, too, apparently. So, just a thought. I like the inside joke between Man and Locke and Jacob there, throwing of the rock into the water. That was pretty cool. So, anyway, love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
I got to agree with the last caller. I mean, how could you argue with Jacob, who the replacement's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
So I say it'd be Hurley.
Yeah?
I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He has stepped up his game and
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Else. I feel like Hurley, has a life behind, not on the island, too. He has his family that I think he still really cares about.
I think he does, but I think that he would stay. If say him staying on the island allows his friends to get off the island,
uh-huh.
Who would be better to do it?
Yeah, I mean, who's the most selfless? I guess.
Yeah, it would be Hurley.
Yeah,
so I see if that's the end where he stays on the island.
But then where the wrench is thrown in the system is this new Hurley, whose life is lucky, and we assume has a good life with his family. So
no, he has a lot of good things off the island. I'm just saying, if there's one person, say they.
Well, I'm saying this new Hurley, not even like the old Hurley who did have off island.
I know exactly, because the new Hurley is Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even Hurley yet, like you pointed out.
Well, that's not confirmed. But
I'm just saying. I don't remember when. I didn't ever thought about it until you said it. So
yeah.
And then number 23 being, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yep.
So I guess that's
Psalm 23, also another classic last episode from season 2, the echo-centric episode.
Just don't listen to that podcast.
It wasn't that bad. It was very long.
I just heard it was a bad one.
That was before we decided to split it into two episodes. So we can.
That
sure
was
get...
before we decided we weren't would not be angry while doing the
before
podcast.
You decided.
Don't tell me what I can't do. And then Reverend James, was the kid, was it a new younger Jacob?
It kind of looks that way. I mean, it does. If you had to say what it looks like, it does look like a young Jacob, like a mini Jacob.
Yeah, but like you pointed out, he has blonde hair.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like
he does have that stare.
He has the other's garb on. The clothes.
Oh, that's what you have to wear when you're on the island.
But maybe we just don't know that character's backstory yet. It's a new character.
And he said the screen cap on one of the names on the wall.
Gary Troop.
And of course, he was scratched off right away.
Poor fella.
Am I correct? Yeah. And then Adam, again, where was Kate's number? Then maybe Frank Lapias. Are we going to see his number up there?
Possibly, but I feel bad for Kate because I just don't think she's that important.
And then Men in Lock, if I was Men in Lock, yeah, I would choose Sawyer.
To do what?
To take over. I would like to become my body. My life into Sawyer's body, right? That's what he was saying. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yes, but I don't think that's his game plan.
I don't think that's his game plan, but I was thinking, well, that wouldn't be bad. Just saying.
All right. Well, we have a lot of
There's worse things you could,
Yeah. We have a lot of you tweet back to get into, Jack. So what do you say we do that?
Do it.
All right, here we go. All right, this time for you tweet back feedback taken from ublog.org's Lost Discussion, which happens after every episode on ublog.org.
Well, don't they discuss as the episode's going
on?
Yeah,
it's like a little kind of discussion thing, so you can talk to people, and you know that...
Sometimes it gets violent in there. Sometimes people are like throwing things at each other, but it's for the most part.
And I think it's an alternate option for people that don't want to be spoiled on Twitter, but still want to be able to like talk
about the episode. Yeah, because I know a lot of people get upset. You know, like I went off Twitter. Well, I was on Twitter, but a lot people have warned me that Canada was seeing it like at 7 o'clock.
They see it at 8 o'clock, I think.
No, this time they saw it at 7 because of the Olympics.
Okay.
Because of five people watching the Olympics in Canada. I'm kidding. I've actually been watching the Olympics.
So it's a good option if you don't.
Well, I was glad I was warned about that because I didn't play any calls. I was careful about the emails I opened up. So.
And that's at yublog.org. So we're going to start with those, and we'll get into the feedback from Twitter after the episode aired.
All right.
So we'll start out here. And thanks to Chris and Boston, the Banhammer, for moderating the U-Blog forum today.
Way to go, Chris.
This one starts out here with Corey today. Holy Aaron. There I said it, referring to the blonde kid in the jungle.
I think it's Aaron.
You think so?
I think we're all right.
Ashley said, Peter Pan is on the island. It's never, Neverland. Is Smokey really Captain Hook? Most intriguing. I think someone's from Manila Ray.
So he'll be eaten by an alligator, right?
Or the hand, at least. No recognition of each other from the flight from Sydney, Rose, and Locke. Same thing you said.
I would think, I tend to remember people from, I'm on a plane. I don't know why. Well, I observe, I look around.
Well, Hugo and Locke were on the same plane.
Yeah.
So I mean, but Locke it's
never.
A big
but Locke never left his seat, though.
That's what I'm saying. So I could see Rose and Hugo not knowing, because I mean it's a big plane.
I'm just.
And
saying.
Do you really look at every single person that's on
the
plane?
I look at every single person, thinking they could be a mass murderer.
That's so morbid.
That's what I do.
This one's from Matt in Syracuse. I've never seen a frightened Richard, and we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, he was. He had some fear in his eyes. Well, he knows what this guy can do.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that he's probably Dr. Death. He's gonna be he's not gonna be fun at the parties.
Six excellence from Bob. Aaron is the new Walt.
Hey, I got a question though.
Yes.
What happened to all the other people that were you know, we saw Alana, we saw Sun, we saw Frank, we saw Ben, we see Locke, we see Smokey take off.
Yeah, where's the rest of the
people? I said, I'm very disappointed. You did they go sit? Did they give him a timeout?
I guess so.
It's Donnie. What happened to all those people? There was like 30 people there, weren't there?
Yes, and our good friend Beth is one of the Ajira survivors, so maybe we'll ask her. What are you guys doing?
What
just
happened
on the beach?
What happened? She must have got a major timeout. You know, if someone tells me they're disappointed in me, I feel bad.
let's see. This was from Jeremy in Mississippi. So we first see Locke get buried, and now we see alternate Locke with no faith. Very sad day. I don't think it was a sad day.
I don't think it was a sad day. I think if you're a Locke fan, I think that your dream of him being the ultimate leader is gone.
I never dreamed of him being the ultimate leader. I dreamed of him being, you know, the next Jacob. Is Jacob really a leader, or is he the protector of the island?
He was. You thought he'd be the protector of the island, Locke.
Which is not necessarily the big super-duper leader.
But you thought he would be the protector of the island,
yeah.
Right? That's not happening now.
We don't know yet because there's still an alternate John out there.
Oh, he's coming back? Is he going to end up on the island?
I hope so.
You really hope that? I say there's no way.
We'll have to see, won't we?
No way.
We'll have to see.
Ain't happening.
So he did seem a little dejected at the end, but you know, everyone has bad days. Everybody has their depressed days.
What's
different this time is he has Helen there to, you know, be his wife, to give him the support that he needs and make him feel better. That's the difference. That's why it's better.
He's definitely better. He's a changed man.
Yes.
Does have a lot of knives, though. And Helen, I guess, never has cut toast or, you know, buttered her toast or, you know, cut her steak. You know, I don't know. What's this knife for? What does it do? I'm sorry.
Ellie said, so who did Jacob touch at Sun and Jin's wedding? Did he touch both? Since Manilock said that only one was the candidate.
He touched both.
Oh, the numbers. So were the others that came. Well, I think it's in Tweetback, so I'll save that one for that one. Eric says, I have absolutely no words to describe this episode right now. That was just intense. The cameos by Ben and Hugo were great. It's showing that some people are doing just fine in this reality versus the theory that everybody's life would be better on the island. I think any hopes I had of Locke being resurrected were buried with this episode, though. That and now I don't have to worry about Jin and Sun again. Only one of them will survive.
Well, I never got why everyone thought their lives would be better on the island. I thought some might be. You had Kate, Sawyer, I thought would be better on the island. But I didn't get why everyone thought, oh, they'd all be better on the island. I never got that.
Well, we don't know for sure yet.
I guess.
Let's go to the tweets now. Joshua W. James. Fake Lock needs the new custodian of the island prison to release him of his own free will, like Aladdin does for the genie.
Ah.
I like it. I like that one the best.
I was going to make a joke, but I realize this is not the Married Man cast, so I'll just...
But I like that. Maybe he needs Sawyer to become the Jacob to release Man or, in Lock.
Yeah, I think that I like it.
This next one's from Jay Parker.
Well, he's definitely going to be using Sawyer. He's not in... Why would he... What does he care about Sawyer?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not doing it for Sawyer's benefit.
Jay Parker, he's 07...
Hold on a second. He's doing exactly what Locke would... What Jacob did to the others. They're the ones he touched. He got them most vulnerable and then came back. So that's what Menelaus doing to Sawyer.
Wait, Jacob. What Jacob did when to Jacob the people he brought to the island.
Right.
Okay.
Menelaus is doing the same thing to
Sawyer.
Yes. Sawyer's at his lowest. Again.
This next one's from Jay Parker 0717. So Littleton was crossed off. Did she die and has a sickness? There was also a Goodspeed crossed off. I wonder what that means.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, whenever I have to see like the high-res photos of see who is all crossed off, I'm sure it's going to be fun and interesting. Next one's from Jason De La Rosa. Sawyer was listening to the Stooges. Don't mess it up, Jay. I didn't. Thanks, Jason. next one's from Aaron Horton. Were the numbers reserved for male candidates only? Is that why Kate wasn't included and why there was only one Quan? It's kind of debate being thrown around, but if Littleton's on there, I guess that throws that one out the door.
Unless it's Aaron Littleton.
Ah.
That keeps that anger going.
Zoe Blue says, Adam plus Eve were earlier protectors of the island, and they recruited Jacob and Esau to take over. Now Jacob and Esau are recruiting?
I like it.
That's interesting. I like that one a lot. Our next one is Miss C.C. Sunshine. Menelaus said that Jacob met with the Lossies when they were miserable/vulnerable. True, except the Quan's and Saeed's case thoughts. Well, it was right before Saeed was miserable.
Right.
And
we pointed out that they were getting married.
So at least one of them was miserable. Anyway, this last one's from Ad Knizler. Locke's funeral and Ben's speech may have been intended to bring closure for us Lockies.
Did it?
No, because I don't think it's over yet. That's just me. I always keep hope.
I got to give you credit. You're sticking to your...
Sticking to my guns.
You got to stick to your guns. It's what life is all about.
And as long as it's not one of your theories, I think it actually has a chance of actually happening.
Oh, man.
All right.
The best thing is about this whole new timeline thing.
What?
I could be right. I could be right all the time.
All right, Jack. Are you ready for your crackpot?
I think someone pointed out, I don't know if it's an email or a Twitter that... I read somewhere that said, what if Hugo buys Dharma?
Mm-hmm.
Rose is working for Hugo. Does that mean she's working?
No.
I think it counts.
That doesn't count. All right. So, Jack, you ready for your crackpot theory of the week?
I am ready for the crackiest crackpot theory in the history.
Oh, no. That's impossible.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Because you've had some really cracky ones.
I didn't say crappy. I said cracky.
Cracky. I said cracky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your hearing's not too good today.
It's been a rough day.
I know. Well, it's almost over.
Yes.
Jack, you ready for your crackpot theory
of
the week? All right, let me get the drum set ready.
All right, today we saw some of the numbers that have been driving us crazy from probably, day one?
Yes.
Since they were introduced.
Exactly. Probably since Hurley's episode, the numbers.
Right, and then we start seeing if they were, you know, always in every episode.
Yes.
They'd have a number, and we're like, going, wow, these numbers must be really important. We're going crazy.
I remember in season two, when you saw 108 painted on that mural, and the hatch is like, oh, wait, that adds up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what it was, and now we've, you know, so we saw 4 is Locke, 8 is Hurley, 15 Sawyer, 16 Saeed, 23 Jack, 42 Quan. What does that add up to?
108.
Now, if you've never added those numbers up, you know, we've received a few emails letting us know over the years that, you know, if you add them up, it adds up to 108. Who was not listed on there?
Kate.
Kate is going to be 108.
Miles.
No, I'm telling you, Kate is going to be 108.
Yeah.
Kate is going to be 108, unless there's no women allowed, then it's, which I'm completely against. Then it's going to be Frank Lapidus. But my initial thought was, but then people started saying, hey, there's no women on there. So mm-hmm. I'll say
But they Kate. Did show, they did specifically show in the last season's finale, because they show the other scenes where Jacob's touching people.
Yeah. She is one touch.
She's one of the ones that Jacob
I think the
touches.
Numbers, all it is a list of who your top prayer, who's no, like a ranking of college basketball, college football, who's number one, two,
well, that's
three.
Case Locke would be pretty high up there.
Locke
huh?
was number four, and he had potential. But you know what? Sometimes the guy, he doesn't hit his free throws, or he...
Just look at the Chargers.
The kick's wide left, wide right, but short.
As much as I would like to, you know, say, rah, 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 shish, boom, bah, Locke's the best, but I don't think it's a ranking system. I think it's something else. Some other kind of weird filing system.
It probably is. But, you know, the weird thing is, couldn't he find a flat wall?
That's more interesting. It's more character.
I'm like going... Man,
that's what the numbers are for—to try and make sense of that.
And it's not in order either. It's like
no, it's all
over
the place.
Place.
Yeah, yes, very much.
So he's like a genius, and he just has.
So that's what the number. It just kind of keeps it all together.
So
all right, so
that's my theory. The reason we didn't see Kate because the one missing number that's been so important on this whole series, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, or maybe it's Lenny. It is going to be Kate is going to be 108.
All right.
And that is my theory. And what do I get that's right? Because
same thing you always get if you ever get anything right?
Nothing. If I ever get anything right.
Which has only been once. And what happened when you did get that one right?
I got to say Happy New Year.
So see, there you go.
So I was happy and that's all that mattered.
Exactly. As long as you're happy. Be happy.
I've told people if you get one theory right in this whole series, that's all that matters.
It's like Super Bowl. It's like an Oscar. No one cares for what you got it for, but you got it.
I was like Drew Brees running around. I'm going to Disney World. And how smart of it was Drew Brees to bring his kid down there?
See, exactly.
Someone was thinking, mm-hmm. Let's get this kid a pair of
headphones. He just really does care about his kid.
I know. I'm just kidding. But that was great marketing.
All right, Jack, you ready to close out the show?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Wednesday.
Yay!
If you'd like to give us a call, at 206-309-0311.
Calling time.
It's 206-309-0311. Calling time with your last questions, comments, and or
theories.
People are kind of, the message machine's kind of messed up, but still call. It's still our number. We're still getting the messages, so as far as we know, it's still working. Also, send us an email to lastpodcast@gmail.com.
Send
us
lastpodcast@gmail.com.
Also, follow us on twitter.com at twitter.com/jayandjack for all updates on what we do. For blog posts. We still have pictures coming up from the sunset on the beach. We still have videos
Caesar
coming
did
up.
An amazing job with the photos. I keep saying that, but they're just outstanding.
He is a great talent. I'm glad to have him part of our team.
I think with me and him together, we could rule the world. That's
also,
scary.
The Lost Vidcast is on iTunes. Search for it. It's up there, The Lost Vidcast, and that's where we're putting up special videos throughout the season. About Lost, but right now we're actually showing our Sunset on the Beach interviews with the actors. The second part is up now, so go ahead and
minor spoilers.
Very minor.
If you're against spoilers at all, you probably don't want to go see it, but they are minor.
And I believe this red carpet has Michael Emerson, Nestor Carbonell, and Yunjin Kim.
Right.
So check that out.
I thought those were probably the easiest to do. Because I think we're hanging out with them the night before.
Yes. So many Mai Tais.
Yeah. The Lost Contest, the Dharma Van has been delivered. If you're following on Twitter.
Twitter.com/LostContest.
Yeah, I've actually saw photos of the van today.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. I can't wait to see how they get the final touches and all the little mm-hmm. work they're doing on it. So Global Cash Card has delivered. They do have the Lost Van. I'm sorry, bus.
So if you want updates on the contests, our How It In contest with Global Cash Card, you can check that out at twitter.com/lostcontest. You can find the details for the contest at globalcashcard.com/lost. And if you have any questions about that contest, you can email the Global Cash Card team at lost@globalcashcard.com. And once again, we said last time we actually got the official okay from ABC to have our Lost finale party.
We know the date is May 23rd
in Los Angeles. Last thing we're just waiting on is the final location.
We should know that soon.
Yes, very soon, and we will let you know.
Also, the Autism Speaks 30-hour podcast starting March 20th, 12 noon in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you'd like to come to it, it's LP Donate. at gmail.com. We just want to know how many people we're going to have. We're going to have an auction. We have the season 5 DVD set that's signed by nine actors. Yep. People are already putting their bids in too soon. We know you're anxious about it. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff. Ed Hockley, who Jay likes to bash in every episode. I don't understand why. Every episode, he just seems like pick on this guy. And I've seen the guy up close. Jay, you better run. He did donate 3 great items. He has a photo of himself. I think it's, what, an 8x7 photo of himself in his uniform. That's not getting on his good side. And it's signed by Ed Hockley. We also have an penalty NFL flag. Penalty flag. I think it was used in the Charger game because it was thrown quite a bit. No, but an NFL penalty flag was pretty cool to hold that. It's a signed by Ed Hockley. And also an NFL football signed by Mr. Ed Hockley. So again, thank you. He's also getting
congratulations.
Married. Well, I was going to say congratulations. He's getting married in a couple weeks.
Yes.
That's why he's not going to appear on the Autism Speaks podcast, because he's going on a honeymoon. So
you couldn't plan around our event?
Yeah, there goes Jay bashing him again. Also, Tad Stones, who will be there, he is donating a statue.
From Sideshow Collectibles, the Darkwing Duck statuette, and it's going to be signed by him. I think I might bid on it, but Jack's trying to keep me away from it.
I'm trying to keep him away. In fact, I was hoping it would show up today so I could lock it up. I have it.
I think I'm going to bid on it. I want it a lot.
Once it's in my possession, it will not be in Jay's grubby little hand. So that's Tad Stones, and I hope to have I'm still waiting on this one person to...
Confirm.
He has confirmed. Well, I slipped out. It is a he. He has confirmed he will do it. Uh-huh. It's just a matter of getting in. I had to talk to his assistant, and I talked to her, and now we're going back and forth on emails. So hopefully soon, maybe by Friday's show, I'll confirm who that person is. But we do have Jorge Garcia, Tad Stones, Jimmy Kino, Ryan Jen, and some other people that I might have the whole schedule written out, hopefully within a week to 10 days.
Yes.
So, and you can come join us live, or you can join us live on Ustream. It's all going for a great charity, and every penny we raise goes to Autism Speaks.
And big ups to the Media Junkyard crew, because they've, you know, I think somewhere around $1,300 they've raised.
I thought it was $1,500.
Is it $1,500 now?
Yeah. And they're trying to get a sponsor for us. And
so they've done a lot of work, and we're going to have a showdown with them for Lost Trivia, so it should be fun.
What we'll probably do is we'll hire probably 3 hours of whoever shows up. We'll put a block of time for just the people that are there, and we'll talk and have a good time there.
So, we have a lot of stuff. Oh, and the final show, or the next rematch of the Canadian versus me at Foosball, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, when you told me about that, I said, yawner. I guess that's when I'll go to sleep. I'm sure that'll raise a lot
during the
5-hour
rest area.
We're also going to have pickup hockey, so if you play hockey, I will not be playing. I've been put on the DL.
Oh, come on.
I can't play.
You can play without an arm.
No, I've been... told no. I'll go out
do there. Everything your wife tells you to do. Jeez.
No, actually, it was the doctor.
Oh, the doctor said.
Well, if I want to finish out this lost season, I have to be careful. I'll go out there and ref it.
All right.
I might ref it and call penalties on people who are Canadian.
All right. It's 1:08. Let's get out of here. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.